I'm only a sinner saved by grace. And if we know Christ as our Savior, that's all we are sinners saved by the grace of Jesus Christ. And so we're here to share what we have seen God doing around the world and just to praise Him and then to share from His Word as well. I'm a MGK. Think, what is an MGK? I'm a missionary grandkid. My grandparents grew up in England, when they were young, they sailed across the Atlantic Ocean to Canada. Lived in Canada for a little while. My grandfather came to know the Lord. He was actually training for the Anglican ministry. And as a result of G. Campbell Morgan coming to Toronto, Canada, preaching the gospel, my grandfather trusted Christ as Savior. Finished training at Toronto Baptist Seminary in Toronto and then went to Jamaica as a missionary. Married my mother, my grandmother there, not my mother, my grandmother. And she was from Canada as well. And then continued to minister there, planting churches in Jamaica from 1927 to 1959. My grandfather died in 59, and my father, who had grown up in Jamaica, who had then trained and went to Bible college in Canada, went to take over that ministry. And I was 1 year old, so I went as well, went along as well. And so grew up in Jamaica. I used to have a Jamaican accent. Can you imagine this little white boy with a Jamaican accent? And then my father started churches. My parents started churches in Montego Bay, Jamaica, and other places in Jamaica. My father started a Bible college in Jamaica called Fairview Baptist Bible College, still going 52 years later. And then in 1972, the Lord called my parents to Australia. And I was 12 at the time. And so came along and lived in Australia for 5 years, did my high school in Victoria in the 70s. So if you're good at math, you can figure out how old I am, I think. And I remember this morning I was at Grace Baptist Church speaking, and I remember going to that church when I was 16, 40 years ago. So you can figure it out now. And I remember a conference there at that church. We come up from Victoria, and we left Australia in 76, and I thought I'd be back in a year, and it took me 26 years to get back to Australia. But we love Australia. We have friends all over the country, from Adelaide up to Cairns. And so my wife and I have been here for 6 weeks. It'll be 6 weeks in the next few days. And we were 2 weeks in Sydney, a week in Victoria, 5 days in Adelaide, and then we went to Brisbane and Toowoomba, and then back to Brisbane, and up to the Sunshine Coast, and back to Brisbane, and up to Cairns, and back to Sydney, and we're here in Sydney for this week, and then we head back to Canada on Wednesday. So that gives you a little bit of an idea. And we're going to go to our presentation here. I'm just going to share a little bit about ourselves. We are Canadian, and Kathy and I met at Bible College and at our home church, and we were married 33 years ago, and we've been in ministry ever since we got married back there 33 years ago. Can you hear me over here, or do I need to speak at the microphone? We're okay over here? All right, or I could just bring that over here. What do you guys, you want me to do that? I can just move the stand? Because is that good?
You can take it, yeah.
Yeah, I can just hold it in my hand. There we go. Is that better? That way I'm not in the middle of you seeing here. Can you see okay? Okay, good. All right, so 33 years serving together. We have 4 children, and I'm just going to go to the next slide here, because there's our son Andrew. He's 32, and he trained in policing, but didn't like policing very much, and so retrained in heavy equipment and truck driving, and works in a quarry in Calgary, Alberta. And so that's our son Andrew. And then our son Joel, he's married to Melissa. They were married at Lake Louise, which is a beautiful place in the Canadian Rockies. And they've been married now for 6 years, and they just gave us a new our only grandson, Jasper, and he's 10 months old now. I think that was probably when he was about 4 or 5 months old. So we're enjoying Jasper. And then this is our daughter, Hannah. Hannah is works in Toronto at a home for disabled adults. And she cares for 4 women in this home. She just loves it and looking to do more training there as well. She went to Torchbearer Bible School there in Canada for a year. And then our youngest is, I missed Matthew. Matthew's our youngest anyway. He should have been on there. I was just adding the kids, so sorry about that, Matthew. But Matthew's 23. He's at university doing political science, getting his master's in political science. Still lives at home. That's not Matthew there. That's our pastor friend, Elburn Latarila. He's from the Philippines and pastors in Toronto. And he's also on our board. ABW Canada is a separate board from ABWE in the USA. And ABW Canada stands for Across Borders for World Evangelism. Basically, we have 65 Canadians serving with our mission in 16 countries of the world. And so we led the mission for 10 years. And for the last year and a half, we stepped down from that about a year and a half ago. And we are doing partnership development now, partnering with countries, 22 partnerships in 16 countries of the world. So we represent across Canada. We travel across Canada from the Maritimes, Nova Scotia, Prince Edward Island, and New Brunswick, all the way over to British Columbia. We're going to take a trip now to various countries of the world because we're going to talk a little bit about what partnership looks like. And we're first in PNG, Papua New Guinea. This is Lucilo Baptist Church at about 7,000 feet above sea level. I think in meters that's probably 2,000 something meters above sea level. This is a church that was started by missionaries. We were there, it was about 3 years ago now, I think, we were there. And there's their church building in the background there. About 60 people that were there that Sunday. And we preached about how God changes lives. And 7 people trusted Christ that morning. And this is an example of that man in the red and his wife. He had been there the week before and said, I'm interested in trusting Christ, but I want to talk to my wife. So she came along as well. So the missionaries, the Word, the Holy Spirit, all working together, we saw those people come to faith in Christ as well. Now we're in the Philippines, and this is actually in Manila. This is Brother Eddie Rios and his wife Jan. He pastored for 26 years, and now he's the president of PABWE, which is, guess what that is, Philippines ABWE, and they've been going for about 50 years. I remember when we were in Victoria, we used to support a Filipino working in Thailand over 40 years ago now, and so they have been faithful, and he's expanding the mission, and we are partners with them. So ABWE Canada, our government in Canada, says we can't send money to a foreign place without having a relationship and a partnership with it. And so that's the job that my wife and I do, is develop partnerships with other mission agencies so that we can help them as they seek to reach this world. One example of what we have done is Tacloban City typhoon devastation. And this was just 2 years ago. I don't know if you remember hearing about it. But can you imagine a wave, a surge from the storm, 7 meters high, coming and hitting that city? Well, there are churches there. ABWE started in the Philippines in 1927, and there are 1,500 churches, all pastored by Filipinos now. There are Bible colleges, there are hospitals, all indigenized, and we praise the Lord for that. And there was one there, Pastor Rios was there, and the pastor said, we know there's a typhoon coming, but we're going to stay here because we know there are people to minister after the typhoon. And they saw many people come to faith in Christ. The churches were boosted because people started going back to church, and we just praise the Lord. As a result of that typhoon in Canada, we raised $100,000 that we sent to that area, and they were able to repair 60 churches with $100,000. Now in Canada, $100,000 won't build one church, but in the Philippines, they were able to do that for the glory of God. All right, the next, here's a picture of one of the building dedications there. This is on the island of Panay, which is south of Manila. And the building on the right was the one that had been destroyed. The roof had been torn off. And the pastor there in the tie-dye and his wife in the pink. And we're just thanking the Lord for what he has done as a result of that typhoon. Here's another building that was rebuilt more in a traditional way near the coastline there. Now we're going to Albania, or actually this picture was taken in San Diego, California, and it was around Christmas time. And Mimosa, the lady standing next to Kathy there, is Albanian. Her and her husband were miraculously saved. We're all miraculously saved. But just an interesting story about how they came to know the Lord from Albania. I remember in the 80s, praying for Albania, and the only way to get the gospel in, they told us, was to get a bottle, go to the shores of Italy, put a message in the bottle, cap the bottle, throw it into the Adriatic, hoping that it would float across to the shores of Albania. Well, the Lord saved Mimosa and her husband Vladimir, and Vladimir was a linguist and a translator. And he found that the Bible translated into the Albanian was not an accurate translation, and so learned Hebrew and Greek and translated the Bible. He translated the New Testament first, and then the Old Testament, got to Job. When he got to Job, I don't understand why, but he got a brain tumor and within a year went to be with the Lord. So Mimosa is a widow. This is her mother who's sitting down here, who is staying with her from Albania as well. So we're on a committee that helps to continue that translation and also translating Ryrie study Bible study notes that go along with that, because that was the vision of Mimosa. She goes to Shadow Mountain Church there in El Cajon, California. David Jeremiah is the pastor, if you've heard of him, and they partner with us in doing that. We also send church planters. These are Canadians who are planting churches in Canada, because Canada is about 6 or 7% broad evangelical, according to Patrick Johnstone's Operation World. There's a great need in Canada. Canada has the largest unreached people group in North America. Do you know what group that is? It's not the First Nations or it used to be called Eskimos, First Nations, not First Nations. It's the French-speaking Canadians. 6 million French-speaking Canadians and half of 1% evangelical. So there's a great need to reach the French Canadians, and Josh and Kim had a burden for that as well. Now we're going to a wedding, and this one is actually in Canada, but this couple is in Calcutta, India. And Mark, who's standing next to me, Mark was born in Calcutta, grew up at Carey Baptist Church, which was the church started by William Carey, father of modern missions, back 206 years ago. And so Mark was a member of that church. He came to Canada to do Bible college, met Ashley, who's a Canadian. They fell in love, got married, and now they're in Calcutta working at Calcutta Christian Fellowship. And as a result of working at Calcutta Christian Fellowship, they're working in schools, training kids, but they're also helping women, rescuing them from the sex trade, helping their children. They've got a school for children of women from the sex trade as well, and God is using them in amazing ways. Mark looks about 18, but he's actually about 29, 30 years of age, so he looks young there. Also, now we're in Jamaica, and I had to share a little bit of Jamaica. And here we see Audley and Donna Black. And Audley and Donna Black came to know the Lord through the church that my parents started in Montego Bay. Now Audley is a pastor, and he's also the acting president of the Bible College there. And so I'm going to show you a picture of their church. This church has been being built for 13 years. They started, they built a foundation, they ran out of money, they waited, they raised some money, they built a little more and a little more. And you can do that in Jamaica because the weather is quite tropical. And so I want to tell you a little bit about those pews, because those pews are from Canada. And I was preaching in a church. It was a church that supported my parents and supports us as well as missionaries. And they've supported us about 54 years of my life, about 2 years when my parents were pastoring and we hadn't started our mission work. But I was preaching there, and I preached a message on what makes you angry. And it was from Romans 1, 18 there, the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all unrighteousness and ungodliness of men. And at the end of the service, the pastor came and said, "You don't know what happened this week, but we were angry at one another. And it was over the pews, because some people wanted to get rid of the pews and some people wanted to keep the pews. And they had a big argument over the pews." And I said, "Well, I've got an answer for you. Pack them up and ship them to Jamaica, and then they can be used, and then you can get your chairs." And so that's what they did. So those are oak pews from Canada in Jamaica. God is blessing the Jamaicans and also that church that supports us as well. This is the front sign of Fairview Baptist Bible College in Jamaica. And over the last 15 years, we've sent more than 2,000 people on short-term trips, mostly to Jamaica. Jamaica is a country of 2.7 million people. We work with 60 Baptist churches there in Jamaica. The majority of them, if not all of them, thinking right now, are all pastored by Jamaicans, but some of them are very poor. And we sent a team. This team was back in February, March of this year, and they went to do a youth program at a church to reach out into the area. Two of these young people were in high school who said, "We believe the Lord's called us to go into ministry," and today they're in Bible college training to go into the ministry. One of these young people was in Bible college and said, "The Lord's called me into missions," and as a result is preparing to go to the mission field. So we believe that short-term ministry is very important, and we love to see Australians go on short-term trips around the world. And we know 60 different countries, so we can connect you with who you need to be connected with. Now we're in Jordan and Egypt on the Red Sea. See that blue part there? That's the Red Sea. Did you ever sing that song in Sunday school? How did Moses cross the Red Sea? No? Didn't sing that one? Maybe some of you did. Because that's the Red Sea that Moses and the children of Israel crossed. And in this picture you can see four countries. To the left is Egypt. To the top left is Israel. To the top right is Jordan. And then just behind the window there is Saudi Arabia. And we had a connection to the Jordanian Baptist Church there, churches in Jordan. And we went to bless the pastors there. And so we said, "Where do you want to go for a conference?" And they said they want to go to Egypt. So we got on a boat on one side and we went across the Red Sea to Egypt to a conference. And here's a picture of the conference. 20 pastors and their wives. Many of them had never taken a holiday or a break. And we were able to minister and bless them. Actually, I was speaking at Emmanuel Baptist Church about a month ago. Somebody came up after and said, "I recognize somebody from those pictures there." While we were there at that hotel, they even led staff, Egyptian staff, to the Lord in Arabic for the glory of God. Very faithful in sharing their faith. Here's a couple, Maher and Esperance. They're pastoring just near the Syrian border. Do you realize that there are 4 million Syrian refugees? We've been talking about that for a while now in Canada and also here. And they've been ministering. This was taken 2 years ago, maybe a year and a half ago, I'd say. And they were almost burnt out ministering to refugees, because refugees, there's always a need, always something needed to be done. And we help them to put some boundaries in their life, and they're continuing to do that. Lord willing, next month, I'm going to go to Jordan with funds from Canada to help in ministering to Syrian refugees, as winter time is coming up there. And so as a result, there's need for clothing and food and things like that. And we're going to be able to, Lord willing, take those things. Appreciate your prayers for that. Here's another couple, church planters there in Amman, doing a great job of ministry there in Amman, Rod and Lana. Now let's go to Ukraine. So we've been all over the place. Here we're in Ukraine. This was actually 2 years ago, October 30th. And we were there at a Bible college, and we looked at the square. The next month, there was a protest in this square. As a result of that protest, there were people that were killed in that square, and then that started the Russia-Ukraine conflict. They took Crimea, then they also took the eastern part there, and they're still battling over that. Well, we have missionaries there, Canadian missionaries, and This is John and Jackie Taylor and their daughter Joanna. They've been there for 20 years. They speak Russian fluently, and they started a college, a Christian Church Ministries Institute with 300 students. Those 300 students are scattered all over the Ukraine, and they train the teachers in the various areas to go and teach in the local churches. Here are some of the teachers that we were able to minister in and through at one of their conferences there. Here's a picture of some of the places in Ukraine. You can see down the bottom there, Crimea that was taken by Russia. And we praise the Lord that 300 students each week are being trained in theological education. And sorry to say, John and Jackie are leaving Ukraine to go to the States, to go to the head office of ABWE to lead there. They're going to really miss being in Ukraine. I want to teach you some Russian. Anybody know Russian here? Maybe. Okay. Bog. Bog is the word God. And Slava is the word glory. Okay? So this church is Boguslav Baptist Church. What can you translate that for me? God's Glory Baptist Church. And that's one of the churches. We were there. They had a training session on the Saturday, and then on Sunday we had an opportunity to speak. It's a new church plant. The pastor is there as well. And I wanted to show you this picture because it's almost getting to be Christmas time. These two girls, the pastor's daughters, the older girl, she played the piano, about 11 years old, played the piano for the service that Sunday morning. But you see the boxes underneath their arms? As we travel across Canada, across the States, across Australia, everybody's collecting or putting together Samaritan purse boxes. And they didn't get those at Christmas. They got those in October when we were there. And so sometimes you think that maybe the Samaritan purse boxes go at Christmas time, sometimes not. This couple, good friends of ours, they live within a kilometer of where we live in London, Ontario, Canada, and they are both from Iran. Sam came to know the Lord when he was in high school in Tehran, and while he was going to that church, his pastor was abducted and murdered there in Tehran. So there's a fear because of what might happen to you because of your faith. Sam was an English teacher. He taught Hanny English. They fell in love. He proposed to her. She accepted. He did not tell her that he was a believer. Now, the word says, be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. This is not the right way to do it. But in this situation, what happened was, they got married, they moved to England, he told her he was a believer, she came to know the Lord, and now they're both ministering to Persians from Canada. What they do is they translate Bible study, sermons, different things like that onto little chips, send them to Turkey and Armenia, and then Romanians will come, put them on their phones, and take them back into Romania to minister to the people there in Iran. So we praise the Lord for that. Now that's the last of our slides on ministry, and now we're going to go to message presentation. I have to switch over, and I'm going to, I better just put this down here.
Can't do three things at once.
I can only do two. Actually, it's going to be another PowerPoint, so you might as well leave those off. Okay, thanks very much. Good exercise for you. I saw him swallow the fly, okay? We were talking, and there was a fly flying around, and all of a sudden it was gone. And he says, I think I swallowed a fly. As we travel around the world, we are so privileged because we get to see amazing things that God is doing around the world. God is doing amazing things in our world. We may go to churches where you might see 15 or 20 people come to know the Lord in a year, but there are many places in our world where there are hundreds of people coming to faith in Christ, and we just want to praise the Lord for that. But do you realize 7.3 billion people in our world, missiologists say that half of the world's population, 3.65 billion people, don't have an adequate opportunity to hear the gospel. That's a sad fact. Half the world's population does not have an adequate opportunity to hear the gospel. We as Christians have been commanded to go into all the world. We have the printed page, we have the spoken voice, we have radio, we have television, we have the internet, and still half the world's population does not have an adequate opportunity. That's a challenge to me, and I would challenge us all about that. Now, if this works, I think it will. Do you remember that tsunami that happened in 2004? 2004, and there's the earthquake epicenter there, those orange and red circles there, just off the coast of Indonesia, Banda Aceh, there. That tsunami, as a result of that earthquake, hundreds of thousands of people lost their lives. And when that happened, one of our missionaries, ABWE missionary, Chris Pillay from Washington State, Chris was a missionary in Mongolia, but the Lord challenged him and he said, I need to go and help in Thailand. And so he went to Phuket and was there helping clear up and helping in whatever way he could there in Phuket. And as he was there, you know, for the wave came in sometimes 3 kilometers inland and there was lots of devastation. And he was walking along the beach and there were clothing and just debris all over the place. And as he walked along, he found a camera. And in the camera was a memory stick. He took the memory stick, put it in his computer, and he found these pictures. And he brought it home to his wife. His wife looked, found the people on the camera, on the pictures, and then figured out who they were. And it was John and Jackie Nill. These were pictures that were taken, and there's a picture of them. John and Jackie, they were Canadians, but they perished in the tsunami. They did not know Christ as Savior, but Chris was able to take the memory stick to their kids in North Vancouver, British Columbia, and give the memory stick and also share the gospel with them as well. You can see that picture in the distance. There are actually 2 boats in the distance and that rock there, because you're going to see those later on, because they took pictures of the tsunami. Here you can see, before a wave comes in, the water has to go out. And here, this is the bottom of the ocean, and those tourists don't realize, but they're on the bottom of the ocean, and they're enjoying seeing what's on the bottom of the ocean, not realizing that the tsunami is coming. Here's a picture here, and you can see in the distance that big wave coming. And it's a good allegory of what's happening in our world today. Half of that world's population don't have an adequate opportunity, and they're going along their life, they're trying to do everything they can in order to be acceptable to some supreme being that they don't even know. They're carrying on their life, but there's a coming day of judgment. It's appointed unto man once to die, and after that, the judgment. This is another picture of terror. You can see, I don't know if you can see those, the prows of the boats are bright against the rocks there. And you can see people are running now. You can see young children and maybe a girl about 12 years old. And she has her hand to her face. You can imagine the crying and the tears that are happening at this moment. As they realize the wave is coming, we have to get out of the way. Here it comes. And these were all pictures, just progression of pictures. Here's a picture. They zoomed in. And on the right there, you can see the 2 prows of the boats there. You can't see them very well, but there's a person standing on the sand there. And I'm going to go back and forth here. You can see as I toggle back and forth to see that person there and the might of that wave. That was the last picture that was taken. And after that, John and Jackie went to a Christless eternity. Sad, sad situation. But there are people, as a result of that, churches were planted, people came to know Christ as Savior. God is in control of all that. I don't understand everything that happens, but I know that I can trust in an almighty God and what He has done, and because He is perfect and righteous and true. Also,
I'm struck with the idolatry that I see in Asia when I travel there. In India, in Thailand, in Indonesia. Have you been to some of those countries? Have you seen some of that idolatry where every morning they'll put a tray, bamboo tray of food or flowers for the gods in the morning? They'll every morning be in Bangkok, Thailand, standing there and praying with incense and different things like that. This picture was taken in Orissa, India. It was taken it was 2002, you know, so that's 13 years ago. And that was the first time I had a chance to travel there and see that. Hinduism says there are 300 million gods. People are worshiping these gods, thinking in sincerity. They're sincere, but they're sincerely wrong in what they are doing. And we know the word of God. Here, this is at a Buddhist temple in the middle of Orissa, which is a Hindu area, but a Buddhist temple. And this man walked down the road, and as he was walking down the road, he had a hand of bananas. And as he had this hand of bananas, he took one of the bananas and threw it over the fence. And as he threw it over the fence, the monkeys came to the fence, and one monkey came over the fence and came to him. You can see the monkey there. He's got a banana in his mouth running away from this man. And so I said to the man who was showing us around, who was a believer, I said, why is this man feeding the monkeys? And he said, well, this man has done something wrong. He feels guilt. And he believes that going and feeding the monkeys in the temple will forgive his sins. That's crazy, but that's what some people in the world are doing. Some people in the world are doing anything they can to gain any type of advantage to overcome that burden of guilt and sin in their life. This was taken in Chennai, used to be called Madras, at the church of the tomb of St. Thomas, because tradition says that Thomas went to the south of India. And here they are praying, not to God, but to others as well. Here's another picture. It's a picture of a Buddha, and it's actually a reclining Buddha. And the Buddha would be, the building would be twice as long as this building. The head would be at one end and the feet are at the other end. And you can see the clothing of the Buddha and the arm of the Buddha there. And I had a guide. He was in a tuk-tuk. He was driving me around. And I said to him, why are people putting money in the pots there? And he told me, well, if you're born on a Monday, you put money in the Monday Buddha pot. If you're born on a Tuesday, you put money in the Tuesday Buddha pot, and so on and so forth. And there are more than seven there, so maybe if you don't know what day you're born on, you put your money in that pot. Sad to say, there are people that think this is going to gain them some benefit now and in the future. Here, this is another place. It was a Buddha. There was a golden Buddha to the left here. And these Buddhas are not solid gold, but people would buy gold leaf. They'd spend their hard-earned money to buy gold leaf so they could put that gold leaf on those statues, hoping to gain some benefit in the afterlife. Well, the question is, why do we need to tell half of the world's population that doesn't have an adequate opportunity to hear? Why do we need to tell them? I would say that universalism is false. Universalism says everyone's going to heaven. Everyone's going to be right with God. It doesn't make any difference what you believe, what you do. Everyone is there. I've even met people in churches that believe in universalism, sad to say. Universalism is false. Can you think of a verse that would counteract the teaching of universalism? I think of one, John 14. John 14, there it said, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And I've heard people preach just to there. Instead of the next part of the verse, which says, no one, no man, comes to the Father except through me. There's only one way. Universalism is false. Everyone is appointed unto man once to die after that, the judgment. Next verse, pluralism is false. Pluralism says there are many ways to God. Islam is the way to God. Confucianism is the way to God. Buddhism is the way to God. Hinduism is the way to God. Christianity is the way to God. It doesn't make any difference which way you go, just as long as you're sincere in what you do. And I'm sure those people, I know those people who took lives on Friday night in Paris were sincere, but sincerely wrong. There's only one way, and that way is through Jesus Christ. Acts 4:12. Peter speaking, talking about Jesus, and saying, "Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved." Peter declaring in Acts chapter 4, there's none other name under heaven, under the sky, under the universe, given among men, given among the human race, whereby we must be saved. Pluralism is false. If universalism is false, pluralism is false, eternal condemnation is sure. Think about that verse, John 3:16, "For God so loved the world." Well, what about John 3:18? "He that believeth not is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God." The Word of God teaches us that there is only one way, and that is through Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. But so often people are following idols, following things that they can do, thinking that that's going to gain them something. Well, a man came to Jesus and said, "What is the greatest commandment?" And Jesus said, "To love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind." That's the commandment. It's not idolatry, it's worshiping God with all our heart, with all our soul, with all our mind, with all our strength. So I have a question for you. What do you really want? Because I, as a human being, even though I know Christ as my Savior, and I want to worship Him with all my heart and my soul and my mind and my strength, I get distracted by things of the world. And I instead of loving Him, I start going after idols, things that are not important, not ultimately important, but serving Him. So the question is, what do you really want? And remember, you're in church. So I hope you're saying something that is spiritual. Some people would say power. If only I could control this situation. If I can control my boss or the work. If only I could control this situation, I would be okay. But that's worshiping power rather than worshiping God. Some people say prestige. If only I could look good in the eyes of others, then everything would be okay. That's why we lie, isn't it? We don't tell the truth because we're trying to hide that we're not really that good in the first place. That's why we lie. Prestige. What about people? If only I could have a relationship with this person or this family member or this person at work or this friend or whatever. And those become nothing wrong with any power, prestige, or people. God is the God of power. There's nothing wrong with the power. It's the lust for power, the desire for prestige and possessions that we have. If only I could have this car or that house or that situation, and as a result, those things. If only I could have this pleasure. There's nothing wrong with pleasure. God created pleasure. He gave us all things freely to enjoy, but pleasure can become an idol in our lives as well. Remember Moses in Hebrews, he said, talking about him, it says, "Choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin for a season." The passing pleasures of sin. And some people, that's all they're looking for is to find pleasure for their own lives. But it becomes an idol in our lives. Pennies, the coins and the money and the bank accounts that we might want, or praise Him. What do you really want in life? If you see that you're going after those things, I would challenge you, even though you may be a believer, to redirect your priorities to worshiping God and loving Him with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. What do you really need? So we're talking about wants. Now let's talk about needs. And I'm going to put the three of them up here. I believe that's it. Oh, I went too far. There we are. basically, McGee, in a book called Search for Significance, breaks down basically what we need into those three things. We need security, we need sustenance, and we need significance. Where can we find those things? We can find them in Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ never fails. He's the one that's going to provide our security so that you can go anywhere in the world, not concerned. You need to be wise, not to be foolish, but God is the one who brings us that security. He's the one that gives us sustenance, and he's the one that will give us true significance. People are looking for significance in their life. I want to be significant. I want to make a difference with my life. And that can only come, I believe, through what Jesus Christ can give. He's the one that offers true security, sustenance, and significance. Now let's look at that verse that was read earlier. John, those verses, John 21, 15 to 17. And Jesus, remember who he's talking to here now. He's talking to Peter. And Peter was the one who, when Jesus said, "You're all going to deny me," said, "I will never deny you. Even if I have to die, I will never deny you." And within a few hours, he was denying the Lord three times. I think about that situation, and I think probably that would be me. That would be me there saying, "Lord, we've seen you do all these miracles. You're so powerful." And then in a few hours later, saying, "I don't know him. No, never heard of him before," denying the Lord three times. Well, the Lord appears to the disciples in the upper room, but then also later on, an appearance happens at the Sea of Galilee. They're out fishing. Jesus is on the shore. He's prepared the breakfast on the shore, and they come to him, and Jesus goes to Peter and says, "Peter, do you love me? Peter, do you love me?" And he says there in that verse, and you can look it up. My Bible's over there, and I'm over here, so I'll just quote it for you. He said, "Do you love me more than these?" What did he mean by the "these" there? Do you love me more than these? He might have been meaning the other disciples. He might have been meaning the food. I don't know what he was talking about there. But he was asking Peter, "What do you love with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength? Do you love me more than these?" And Peter says, "Yes, Lord, I love you." And he says there, "Feed my lambs." Now, if you want to do a study this week, you can find out there are all different types of words for love in that passage. Jesus' question, the response there. We're not going to go into all those details. We're just going to look at the major point, and the major point is, do you love Jesus? Peter, do you love me? And Peter says, "Yes, Lord, I love you." And the Lord says, "Then feed my lambs." First time he says, "Feed my lambs." And then a second time Jesus comes to Peter and says, "Peter," and the first time he says, "Peter, son of Jonah, Peter, do you love me?" And he says, "Yes, Lord, I love you. Tend my sheep," is the second word, second phrase there. And then the third time Jesus says, "Do you love me?" And Peter says, Peter's angry now, grieved that this Lord who he loves is asking him three times, "Do you love me?" And says, "Lord, you know all things. I love you." And Jesus said, "Feed my sheep." So, Peter is trying to prove his love, and Jesus is saying, "If you really love me, then show it. Show it. Demonstrate it. Apply it." I've been married to Kathy for 33 years, and it's my attempt to every day tell her I love her. You can ask her later on if I've succeeded or not. But it's not enough for me to say I love you. It depends upon my actions, how I demonstrate that love. I can say I love you over and over and over and over again, but if I'm not demonstrating it by my actions, it's just words. And the question today, tonight, is to me, David, do you love me? And I say, yes, Lord, I love you. And then he says, well, if you love me, then feed my lambs, tend my sheep, feed my sheep. What are the sheep? What are the sheep? The sheep are people. Jesus said, he was talking about the Gentiles, and he said to the Jews, other sheep of I who are not of this fold, them also I must bring. He's talking to the Jews who were of the fold of that sheep, but he's saying, I have other sheep that are not of this fold, I need to bring them, the Gentiles, those who are not Jews. So the sheep are people, and it's our responsibility to minister to people. Are you doing that? Are you ministering to those people you see from day to day? Are we ministering? I got to point the finger at myself as well. Do we care about the sheep enough? And do we love the Lord enough that we're willing to demonstrate our love for the Lord by caring for the sheep? That might be children. It might be young people. It might be seniors. It might be people who are in hospital. I don't know where or what, because there's so many different variations of it. But if we love the Lord and we say, He is the one, I'm going to worship Him and Him alone, then we're going to demonstrate it by feeding His sheep. Let's pray. Our Lord and Heavenly Father, we just thank You that we love You because You first loved us and You sent Your Son to die on that cross for our sins. Lord, forgive us for the times when we've gone after other things other than worshiping You and desiring You with our heart, soul, mind, and strength. And then help us to love our neighbor as well. Lord, help us to minister to the people around about us and share Your love to a lost and dying world. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.